Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, we've gone around to the various regions, and you've heard from the captains in the regions, and usually there was somebody there to be with the captain, and I didn't, the chief's doing family business, and the deputy chiefs aren't here, and so I just felt like I needed to do something to set this up for Captain Ron. Dan is one of our six regional captains. He's been in this job for, what, 4 years, Dan? Almost five. And I just wanted to point out the captains. They play such a significant role in the enforcement department. Commissioner Holzmiller and others have noted how enforcement is usually the first contact that the public has with our agency, and these are the guys that are out there managing those officers, managing the policy implementation and the enforcement of those policies. And I look at our six captains that we have in place right now. I think they're as strong a team as we've seen. Each one of these guys could get employment somewhere else, probably in the law enforcement world, and make more money. But they stick with the agency and they stick with the mission because they love being here. And I wanted to just say that in front of Dan, and again, just as some context for his presentation about what goes on in Region 1.
Thank you, Joe. And Captain, it's all yours.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Commissioners, Director, Deputy Director. I'm supposed to sit down. I used to stand, and I have to give a presentation. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it. What I'd like to do is just go over some highlights for Region 1, and it shouldn't take more than 2 hours. I'm just kidding. I'll get you out of here quick. But first of all, I'd like to just go through the region and let you know how we're deployed. We have three detachments in Region 1. There's a North Detachment that consists of Ferry County, Stevens County, and Pendere Counties. There's five officers, so there's three officers in Stevens County, one in Ferry County, and one in Pendere County, and a sergeant. And then we have the Spokane Detachment, which has five officers. One of those officers is in Lincoln County, and four in Spokane, and a sergeant. And then down south, we have a sergeant and four officers, one in Whitman County and then one in Assotin, Garfield, and Columbia County. And actually, Walla Walla County for enforcement is in Region 3. So all of our stations are not filled. Right now, we have a vacancy in the sergeant position for up north, and the Whitman County officer position is vacant. What I'd like to do, like I said, just go over some of the highlights last year or so that we've had here in the region. This case, well, first of all, our objectives or strategic objectives are tied to the agency goals, and I'll be going over about seven of our strategic objectives and just providing a few slides and information on each of those. The first one is prevent illegal take and trafficking of fish and wildlife. This particular case involved wildlife that was crossing the border from Canada, several animals that were illegally taken in British Columbia, Alberta, and then it stemmed into Idaho and is subject down in Arizona. We served a couple search warrants here in Spokane and recovered, as you can see, hopefully you can see, there's several caribou, moose, bear, mountain goat, fox, bobcat, a variety of deer, variety of species that, like I said, were illegally taken there and brought across the border to Washington. It's a huge case. The officers here have done a great job. It's taken a long time to complete, to process it all for submission to the prosecutor. Now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is interested in this case, and they have a little bit bigger hammer. They actually file several felony charges and Lacey Act violations from this case. And so, of course, we did all the work, and the officer put a couple big three-ring binder of information together for the prosecutor, and now the feds will probably take it, which is good. The main thing is we want them prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But it's a really big case, and it's still going through the system. The feds are looking at it right now to see if they're going to take it and file charges.
Captain, these are taxidermed?
Right. Yeah, those are all taxidermed. Those were removed from we served two search warrants on two homes in Spokane, and those were the items that we seized, along with computers and cell phones and a variety of other items. Yeah, those are all. Some of those are taxidermy. There's some items that were at a taxidermy shop, but most of those were at in their homes. This is another large case that we had here in Spokane. Actually, it goes back about 15 years, where there was a taxidermist that had been taking in items, you know, to produce mounts, deer, elk, bear, all kinds of wildlife items, and then he kind of quit doing business. And a lot of these folks were calling taxidermists. They couldn't get a hold of him, wouldn't return phone calls. All they wanted was their wildlife items back. They'd already put down a deposit, but they just wanted them back so they could take them somewhere else and have them taxidermied. Well, they couldn't get the items back. They were, of course, locked in a shop. And so after we received a lot of complaints from people, well, can you help us? What can you do to help us here? And I give credit to my sergeant, Sergeant Mike Sprecher. He, after several years of this, we decided to look into it further, and actually we served a search warrant on the place, seized all the items in the shop that where we could actually find an owner to the property. And we wanted to charge the taxidermist, but the prosecutor was reluctant to file charges because was the taxidermist still practicing taxidermy? He would do some taxidermy now and then, but at the time when we served the warrant, was he still practicing? And so in order to address that, I'll go through some mention some statutory information here in a minute, but we had so many people that were very, very pleased, and like I said, I give credit to my sergeant. We were able to return many items to folks that had been trying to get their antlers, their hide, skin, skulls, whatever, back for years, literally years. I mean, we're talking 10 to 15 years, and they weren't so worried about that they were out the deposit that they had to pay, but they just were very happy to get these items back. Some people had even passed away by the time, you know, we were able to try and get these things back. It had been so long. So it was a really good PR deal, too. Many people were appreciative. So we're looking at actually trying to change some of the regulations so that we can have more clarity in the regulations and then just create a landscape where we're more successful in actually prosecuting some of these cases. And so one of those would be, you know, what's the definition of a taxidermist? What do they have to be doing to actually be have the requirement for a taxidermy license? And so sometimes when we run into these cases, this is not the only case where we find that there's maybe a loophole or there's something in our laws that we need to improve the statutory language. And we've done that a lot because the prosecutors will look at it and say, this is too vague, it's not clear enough. And this is one that we're looking at to make some changes. Some of the changes will be WAC, that you'll be seeing some WAC language here in the near future. And then the bigger changes are going to be the RCW changes that we're going to propose. We serve several search warrants in the region, and here's just some deer antlers. But you know, it's on a variety of cases. It's fish and wildlife cases, and that includes not just seizing the wildlife parts, but nowadays with all the technology, seizing computers and other electronic devices. So it's the change in how we do business is with technology is a lot different than when I first started. Here's just to give you an idea, Officer King in Whitman County over opening weekend last year, I think there's about six or seven heads there. You know, most people are good sportsmen, so I don't want you to get the wrong idea when I'm here and showing you all these violations and everything. So most people that we deal with, the majority by far, are good sportsmen. They're good people. They're doing the right thing. We just, you know, part of our job is also to go out there and find people that are not doing the right thing. And so, like some of these animals, you know, when we have a season going on, seizures for close season animals, no licenses, exceeding, trespassing while hunting, a variety of violations. So I just wanted to give you an idea. But that's the animals that were seized just for opening weekend by that officer.
Captain. I just wanted to, I was looking at the slides and I think I count 46 more slides.
I'll go through them a lot faster.
And about 20 minutes, so.
Okay, yeah. These are just some of the cases I'm talking a little bit more about, but I'll go through some of the others a lot faster. This is just a moose, this moose poaching and arson case. The county had a subject that they arrested for trespassing in a cabin, actually living in somebody else's cabin up in Pondre County. They provided some information that maybe a moose was poached, so our officers investigated, found that a moose was poached, went to waste. Were able to prove an arson case, too, by interviewing the suspect's family members, getting a statement, looking at text messages. And anyway, Fish and Wildlife was the lead on this, and this arson case and moose case wouldn't have been made without their due diligence. But again, the county called us in on it because they thought wildlife was involved, so we appreciated that. A bear baiting case that we worked on, this just I want to just on this one to provide some information how much time we spent on it. We conducted surveillance and had trail cameras up on it for about 2.5 months. Somebody was out mushroom picking and found what they thought was a bear bait site. And so we investigated, put some trail cameras on it, find out who was coming and going and who was involved. On opening day of the spring bear season, subjects came in. We were there already. Came in at 3:30, and we sat. Had two officers in the brush, two in a chase vehicle from before 3:30 in the morning till 7:30 that night. And anyway, the subjects denied hunting and all that, but we advised them. We've been observing, surveying them for quite some time, and their compound bows were seized for forfeiture and forfeited. They were trespassing. The driver was suspended for driving, and they were charged also with a baiting bear. But it just shows you the amount of resources sometimes when we have these type of complaints, and then we investigate it. That you know, here you had four officers on this for all day, really, and so could we use more staff in our enforcement program in the region? We could. Just when you look at this one example, how it tied up so many officers. And of course, then they're not out in the field doing all the other things that we should be doing. But it was a great case that they made. Close season fisheries, for instance, on the Snake River, a 7-foot sturgeon that was filleted out. I'll just go through some of these a little bit quicker here. Our second strategic objective, increase in threatened and endangered species protection. We do a lot of various patrols on the Snake River, the tributaries, focusing on the Grand Ronde, the Toucanon, the Touche Rivers, where we have ESA-listed fish. We run boat patrols, but this is an officer on the left there in a pontoon boat observing. Sometimes they'll go down through the river. They'll have a couple of them for safety reasons, but in pontoon boats, for instance. and plain clothes maybe. And we've made some really good cases there, even on some guiding operations, and just folks that think that there's nobody around. And so it's a good way to do business once in a while, to be kind of off to the side and then check folks after for compliance on our regulations later on during the day. I won't go into wolves in the region. I'm sure you've heard plenty about those. So, but enforcement is actively involved in what's going on with the wolves in Region 1. We do the depredation investigations either on our own or with the wildlife program. We try to always have a biologist or conflict person when we do a depredation investigation, but sometimes, like on weekends, holidays, and so forth, they're not available, so the enforcement officers conduct the investigation themselves. We work a lot with other law enforcement, even on these. We have pretty good ties and communication with the sheriffs, with the deputies, their command staff, which I think helps to some degree in relationships during these kind of tense issues. But and then the poaching investigations, we've had a few wolves that were shot and left, and we conduct those investigations. That's all I had on wolves. For threatened and protected, another mode that we have, snowmobile patrols in the Lynx and Caribou Country up north. Strategic Objective 3, prevent invasive species introduction. We conduct AIS check stations at boat ramps, and this one happens to be off on Highway 2 out by Reardon, just various sites throughout the region. Just here's a boat ramp, looks like on Lake Roosevelt. The officer is probably conducting a boating safety inspection and an aquatic invasive species inspection. We have some areas in the region where the milfoil is really bad, so we have some emphasis patrols in those sites just to make sure people are aware to clean their trailer and their boats off so we don't spread milfoil to other waterways. And a lot of these access areas are posted with signs to remind people of that. But once in a while, we still have people driving off with their trailer looking like that. Increased protection of fish and wildlife habitat, public lands. Fire seasons. The officers are actively engaged with other law enforcement in providing road closures, emergency evacuations, even first aid on some of these fires that we've had throughout Region 1. And we've had several fires, you know, up north and down, of course, in the Toucan and the Blue Mountains over the years. But like I said, we're involved in these and provide whatever assistance that the sheriff requests. There's a pretty good picture of the Toucan fire. Just on some of our access areas, wildlife areas, we have signage up during the when there's a fire closure, burning ban. Here's a sign, if you can see that back behind the tent there, about a burn ban. And of course here they have a campfire going. When the officer pulled up, they were cited for that violation. I mean, it doesn't take much. In some of these places, that's pretty clean around the fire pit, but some sites they have fires going where there's dry material near their campfire, and it just wouldn't take much for the whole place to go. So we try to focus on that too in the dry season, summer. Work a lot with habitat protection. Here's just somebody drops some trees across the Toucan River, and that can, depending on, you know, how the dam's constructed and so forth, with rocks or trees, that can have an impact on ESA fish. So we pay particular attention to that when we see these reports. Other work within rivers, streams, lakes, diverting waterways, creating dams without HPA permits. A fair amount of that goes on. A lot of it's educational, but anymore, a lot of the contractors know that they have to have permits before they get into the under the ordinary high water mark before they start working, but it still happens. Strategic objective 5, increase our program profile and connect with the public. I thought this one was a pretty good picture of that youngster. But we're actively involved in our local communities. Here's a kids' fishing event at Clear Lake that we have every year. We normally have an officer or two there to assist. And here's one, a senior community fishing event on Liberty Lake. Officers meeting with the Cub Scout group. This one was up north. We provide some wildlife parts to the Cub Scout group. Officer making a presentation at the Swanson Lakes Wildlife Area where you have elementary students that have come out there for educational purposes, and we provide a presentation. We're actively involved in the hunter education program. We have been for a long time, and this year, or in this region, it's a priority that the officers are involved in every class that we possibly can attend. And we don't have 100% participation, but it's really close. We have the traditional classes that go for a week, and so the officer normally comes in for about an hour and makes a presentation, and then we have the online courses. We have several of those out at the regional office, and then some of the officers actually conduct the online course, the field day course and everything themselves, or get another officer to help, because we have some areas where that's a real void, where we don't have the volunteer hunter education instructors to provide that instruction. So sometimes we pick up the slack there and try to help out. But we are actively involved in hunter education, have been. It used to be in our program, now it's in the wildlife program. A hunting fatality investigation that we had in Whitman County near Colfax, where four muzzleloaders were out hunting, and one was shot and killed by one of their own hunting partners. And so we were called in along with the Whitman County Sheriff's Office, and it turned out that we were in the lead in the investigation on this fatality. And I won't go into all the details, but the officers spent a lot of time with interviews. We even had State Patrol come out with their total stations, which they use on some of their major traffic incidents, which can actually map everything down to and with measurements and diagrams and to get precise information. And anyway, we submitted a report to the prosecutor for he has to make a charging decision, either manslaughter or possibly murder. But here's a case where Fish and Wildlife, the county wanted us to be the lead on it. So it just kind of shows that we get involved in all different types of criminal activity for investigations. Strategic objective 6, the improve the public safety, consumer protection. We do a lot of market and restaurant inspections and inspect grocery stores here, mainly in Spokane and some of the smaller areas and communities as well. But we're checking for compliance, for instance, like with shellfish, with their health certificates. Is the product being labeled correctly? Where does the product come from? Inspecting the receipts and everything, just to make sure that the product that's coming in is legal product that they have on their shelves, and is it being taken care of, in a safe manner. For instance, if they have shellfish product there out and they don't have any health certificates or they've thrown them away, then we seize the product and they can be cited for that. We don't want to have shellfish out there that we don't have any health certificate tags so that people get sick from eating that product. Dangerous wildlife in the region. One of our biggest time-consuming species are moose, and we have a lot of moose in the greater Spokane area. And we work with our other wildlife program staff and other law enforcement. But the enforcement program is the lead on dangerous wildlife, and that mainly includes the moose and then bear and cougar. We respond over, either by phone or in person, well over 150 moose calls a year. Just a moose and a couple of calves in Spokane, a couple of, it's all year long. It used to be the majority of our moose issues were in May when the cows were getting ready to calve, and kind of trying to get rid of the yearling calf, and then the yearling calf would come into town or be in an area where it shouldn't be. But now it's just seems like it's year round. We have so many moose in the Spokane area. Here we're just hobbling the moose. What we do when I don't know if you're familiar with it, but we tranquilize the moose. Either our vet will tranquilize it. If she's not available, then the officers have the necessary mobilization drugs to tranquilize the moose. Then we hobble it. We cover its eyes. And then either get into a sled or put it on a tarp, slide into a horse trailer. And sometimes blood is taken, whatever other biological information, and then we give it a reversal drug, and then it's back up on its feet normally in less than 10 minutes, and take it to a release site. We're kind of running out of areas to release moose because some we ear tag them, and then some of these critters end up coming back to Spokane. So, and in the wintertime, like this winter, we had a lot of moose calls and complaints, and just with the snow being so deep, and there just wasn't a lot of food out there for them, especially if you take them up north to a more remote area. It was tough on them this year. There's a moose release. We have, once in a while, we close the I-90 down for traffic both ways. We may have a moose along the freeway, and if we're trying to push it out or tranquilize, we don't want it running out in front of a car and have something really bad happen. So we'll request the State Patrol to actually stop traffic until we can contain the situation. A lot of the animals are salvaged, and we have a lot of we have sportsmen's groups and the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council here in Spokane that actually, they're all volunteers, and they come out and they'll help salvage the animals. We don't have time to salvage everything, but we don't want the critters to go to waste out there and all that meat. So the animals are, with these volunteer groups, they're normally field dressed and skinned. And then like here in Spokane, most of them are taking the Union Gospel Mission. We run into a lot of orphan, actually the last couple of years we've had a lot of orphan bear cubs, the sows. Gets hit by a car or comes up missing or gets killed one way or the other. And so these bear cubs, they're not gonna make it on their own. So we work with the wildlife program, try and place them in another facility or a zoo or somewhere where they can be taken care of or raised until they can be released later on. And then just bear in the, if I'm going too fast, I apologize, but I know we want to get through this. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Bear in Spokane, here's one we had last year. It was up in the tree, of course, when it was tranquilized. The picture on the right there got stuck in the tree, and that's always a concern. We put a tarp down at the bottom so that it's tied up off the ground, so when the bear falls, it falls on the tarp so it's not injured and doesn't hit the hard ground. But occasionally, they get stuck in the tree or they crawl around and get lodged in there, so there's two officers up there trying to get the bear out. Once in a while, we'll have the fire department there, where they have a bucket on their on one of their engines, and they a ladder, and they can go up there and help us out. But in some places, you can't really. It's pretty tough to get up there. So you're always thinking about that. If you tranquilize this bear, and then once in a while, they go up further, and then if they start coming down before we're ready to tranquilize them, and they're in a busy area or by a highway or something like that, we also have paintball guns. We use paintball guns to haze them up back up the tree. We use paintball guns now instead of rubber bullets for the most part to haze moose, try and move them off somebody's property, away from a house, that sort of thing. The paintballs in the last probably 5, 6, 7 years, that's what we've gone to, paintball guns, and they work really, really well. They don't hurt the animal. Here's just a hard release with a bear where we make a lot of noise. We have a Carilion bear dog in the region, just one, but dog's barking, make a lot of noise, release the bear. Hopefully it won't want to be around people anymore. Seems to have some effect. I think you've probably heard some of this before from probably some of the other regions. They do this as well. Cougar and bear depredation investigations, we're the lead on these, but we do have conflict staff that help us out. This is just one where we had 7 lambs killed by a cougar. When we do have these, we try to call in, if the conditions are right, we receive the complaint in time, call a houndsman to try and track the cat And when it's killed livestock like that, we do euthanize the animal. It's not tranquilized or anything, so it's taken out just because of the, you know, we don't want to tranquilize it and release it somewhere else and have it do this again. This is just kind of an interesting one where one cat came out of Columbia County and Garfield County where we, even when we chase cats with hounds, we're not always able to find the cat. And one of them, we think, was one that we've been trying to catch for quite a while, a couple of years actually. It killed, supposedly this one killed up to 19 sheep. I think it's the right cat. And then another one was hit by a car. Or that one was hit by a car, and then another one we tracked with hounds after it killed some sheep. So most of the cats, I think we have a lot of cats. Most of them are eating deer and things that they're supposed to, but we, most of our cats, I think that we actually have to euthanize and because they're killing livestock, or the majority of them are probably up north in the Stevens and Pondere County. There's a few down in your area, but for the region overall, we have our majority of problem cats are up north by far. They're more than the central detachment and the Blue Mountain detachment combined. But like I said, we do have cats all over, and we've taken them out, and we prefer not to, but sometimes that's what we have to do. We assist other law enforcement agencies in a variety, especially the officers, fish and wildlife officers that they're in these rural communities where there's not a lot of law enforcement presence. They have limited deputies or officers for some small communities. And, I mean, we assist with, they'll call and ask for help. We have the radio frequencies installed in our vehicles. And, domestic violence, whatever type of call, dangerous subject, waving a gun, there's a variety of calls, and so we work really closely with our local law enforcement partners, and that includes our local, the state officers, state patrol, and our federal partners as well. This is strategic objective 7, just maintaining orderly fishing and hunting, commercial activities, doing compliance checks. We have a variety of tools that we use. This just happens to be here. We have an emphasis patrol on the Pondere River trying to get the whole river checked actually in a day. Maybe a fishery that's going on. May have a waterfowl patrol. We use ATVs. Like you saw earlier, we have snowmobiles, our four-wheel drive vehicles. We have a variety of means of trying to check these folks that may be in remote areas, or there might be an issue. We have a complaint of some sort of a fishery or hunting season, or just some sort of activity that's not legal, or we're getting complaints on it, and so we'll send extra officers into an area trying to address that issue. But that's the last slide, so I hope I didn't go through those too quick, but I know you guys want to get out of here. But anyway, our for staffing, just to close with, in the region, and I think it's statewide, everybody could use more people, and we could certainly use more officers. We could do a lot more good work, I think, with extra staff. But we have good folks in the program and in the agency, and we could do more out there, but. We have at least one funded officer position for each county, and we could always use more than that. I think we had a staffing study a few years ago that almost doubled if we were going to actually have the right staffing statewide. It would almost double what we currently have. So, but anyway, that's my presentation. Thank you again for allowing me to be here and provide this information.
Thank you, Captain. And we're all proud of the work you do and outstanding work you do and all of those that work with you in the region. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.